When he sees Frank walking towards him, he can't help the massive grin that spreads over his face. "Hey," he says, once Frank is within a couple of feet.
"Hi,"
Frank says, smile mirroring Gerard's own. "How was your last day?" Gerard asks, keeping one eye on the board for the track assignment.
"Good. Sort of weird, honestly. I wish I could just stay there."
Track 4 pops up next to the 619 train on the board, and without a word about it, Gerard and Frank start walking to the track together, Frank's shorter strides somehow matching up to Gerard's longer ones.
"But I have a bunch more courses that I need to get through first this fall."
"Do you think you can work with them again in the future?" Gerard asks. Frank shrugs.
"Probably. I should really keep my options open, though. There are still a lot of other things I could end up doing, so..."
Gerard nods as they climb onto the train. There's an empty four-seater in the first car they try, so they sit down in their usual spots, smiling at each other and then looking away. Gerard is already quietly panicking. He doesn't know what else to say, doesn't know how to do this. It feels different already, like he can't just sit across from Frank and draw monsters or whatever. He knows he needs to say something. Heading back to Jersey tonight was his idea, this is his fault, Frank is never going to want—
"So, this is weird,"
Frank says brightly, and just like that, everything is fine. Gerard laughs, loud and honking and genuine, and Frank giggles back at him. "Mikey would be so embarrassed for me right now."
"Yeah? What did he say?"
"Oh god, I don't even know. He couldn't even believe how long it took me to text you today."
"Neither could I, dude," Frank says. "Frankly, I was kind of offended you didn't text me by the time I got out of the subway this morning."
"Well, I needed to maintain a little mystique," Gerard says. Frank looks at him incredulously.
"Don't take this the wrong way, but mystique is not the word I think of when you come to mind."
Gerard tries not to freak out about the implication that he thinks about him. "Oh, what is the word?" Frank smiles at him slowly.
"I'm not entirely sure that it's appropriate to say in public," he says, and at that moment, someone slides in next to Gerard because they've been too busy paying attention to each other to worry about maintaining their defenses, and Gerard wants to kill everyone, starting with the businessman douchebag sitting next to him with his legs spread too wide and taking up all the space. He settles for drawing his messy death and glancing up at Frank as often as he can get away with it, which turns out to be never, because Frank seems to spend all of his time staring straight at Gerard while listening to God only knows what on his iPod. Businessman douchebag gets off two stops before Gerard's, and Frank moves across as soon as he leaves so that he can take a look at Gerard's drawing. "I like the briefcase shoved into his broken skull. It's a nice touch," Frank says, running his fingers along the lines of the drawing.
"Thanks, I was pretty proud of that part myself," Gerard says. "Hey, so we never really talked about where we're going to eat." Frank shrugs.
"I walked to the train station this morning, so I don't have a car handy."
"So I guess we're getting off at my stop?"
"Guess so."
Frank is quiet for a moment, before grinning and nudging Gerard's arm.
"I'm totally stiffing New Jersey Transit for the difference in the fare, man."
"You rebel," Gerard deadpans, trying to banter and play along and not quietly die from the feeling of Frank pressed up against his side, body warm and soft and right.
"Hey, you know what they say about guys with tattoos? They're not to be trusted," Frank says.
"Oh really? Should I be worried then?" Gerard asks, going for a lighthearted and pretty sure he misses. Frank smiles and shakes his head.
"Nope."
They get off at Gerard's station, and he leads Frank over to the Stop and Shop parking lot. Gerard opens Frank's side of his old Corolla first, and then comes around to get into his side. "So, you're just vegetarian, right? Nothing else I need to factor in for restaurant choice?"
"Nope. And I'm not that picky, really. I know what works for me and what doesn't, at this point."
"Okay." Gerard puts the car in gear and pulls out of the parking lot, driving approximately 4 blocks before turning into another parking lot on the other side of Main Street and parking again.
"Seriously?"
"Hey, it's not like it's a big town. And trust me, you'll like this place." Frank shrugs.
"Lead the way."
They walk through the parking lot, which is situated behind a block of stores lining Main Street. Gerard leads Frank through a little alley and opens a small, nondescript door to the back of a fairly typical Irish pub. It's not typical to him, though. Judy sees him first, but Dennis is right behind her.
"Gerard! To what do we owe the pleasure?"
"Hi, Judy," he says, kissing her on the cheek. He lifts a hand towards Dennis. "Hey, Dennis."
"How's your brother, Gerard?"
he asks. "Busy, same as always," Gerard answers. He can feel Frank up close behind him.
Guys, this is Frank. Frank, these are the guys."
"Gerard and his brother used to work here when they were in high school,"
Judy says.
"Gerard was one of our most popular waiters with the older crowd."
Mikey never made it out of the kitchen washing dishes because he'd get too distracted, but as long as he could blast the Misfits, he was happy, Gerard says.
"Even if some of the customers weren't,"
Dennis says.
He was doing them a public service, educating them and expanding their musical horizons.
Gerard, I can tell you for a fact that some of them had no interest in having any of their horizons widened,
Dennis says. Ah, Gerard says, flapping a hand at him. It was good for them. So do you and your friend need a table, or is this merely a social call? Judy asks. A table would be great, Gerard says, following her through to the side room and taking a seat. He can tell Frank is laughing at him a little, but he doesn't care.
So, this is like your own version of Cheers, is that it? Frank asks as he sits down.
Yeah, kinda. Just some place I can always feel comfortable. Home turf, you know?
Any particular reason you need a home field advantage at the moment? Frank asks, picking up his water and taking a long drink.
Aside from the fact that I've been trying to figure out how to ask you out all summer, and then suddenly you did this morning, and now we're on a date? Not really, Gerard says, feeling himself relax a little now that he's actually admitted it.
So I make you nervous, is that what you're saying?
Frank says, wagging his eyebrows and generally looking ridiculous. Gerard laughs, loud and honking, and Judy calls out, I can still identify that laugh from across the restaurant, G! And he can't even mind. Gerard gets the same chicken salad sandwich on rye he always gets, with the shoestring fries and a pickle. He also gets a Shirley Temple with about 7 maraschino cherries in the bottom, like he did back in high school when they'd refused to serve him alcohol with his staff dinner, even though the entire place was empty aside from the waitstaff. He's feeling nostalgic. The fact that it makes Frank stare at him intently as he proceeds to tie each stem with just his tongue doesn't hurt either. They leave after an hour and a half of Jersey stories and Judy coming over to bother them whenever her shift is slow, which is basically the entire night, given that a Friday night in August isn't exactly busy season for them. The entire town shuts down, more or less, most families escaping down the shore or off camping or whatever, except for the pack of high school kids who don't go anywhere and roam around at night. Me and Mikey and Ray used to walk around at 1 a.m. for no good reason, just trying to find something to entertain us, at least until I got my car. Then we would drive around trying to find something to do, which was much better.
Sounds familiar.
Right? I think it's a Jersey rite of passage, really, Gerard says. He gestures to Judy for the check, and she rolls her eyes and points meaningfully at the back of Frank's head. He's rather proud of how little he reacts, but Frank still smirks at him. Judy puts down the check, and Gerard gets his credit card in the little plastic tray before Frank can even get his wallet out. Come on, you came to my town, I can get dinner, Gerard says when Frank frowns.
Huh. Now that you put it that way, damn right you can fucking pay, Frank says.
Like so much of what he says around Frank, he doesn't consciously plan the question before he blurts out, You want to go for a ride after this? It's not really late enough to feel the same, but
yes.
Frank doesn't hesitate, just looks back at Gerard, clear and honest and right there. Judy comes back with the slip for him to sign, and Gerard can't jot down a 30% tip and scribble out his signature fast enough. It's a perfect night for a drive. Warm enough that leaving all the windows down feels just right, Gerard's left arm dangling out the window with a smoke in his hand, Frank mirroring him to the right. The smell of the air is like poetry, wafting over him, and he pops out his CD to turn the dial to the radio, searching out those moments that feel right. When Living on a Prayer comes on and he turns it up, Frank cracks up.
Seriously?
You'd prefer Bruce? Gerard asks. Frank takes a moment to respond, letting his cigarette dangle from his lips for a moment, before inhaling and then blowing out the smoke.
Nah, Bruce is more 2 p.m. or 2 a.m. Bon Jovi is all about 10 p.m.
Gerard glances over at Frank and smiles, before looking away quickly when he catches his eye. Gerard lets himself take whatever turns he wants, head bobbing to the music as Frank taps his leg with his left hand to the beat. Do you miss your band? Frank nods immediately.
Sure, I mean, who wouldn't?
He takes a drag from his cigarette, and Gerard makes himself wait, biting his tongue by smoking too.
But I used to think it would be like losing a limb or like part of me would be dead inside if I couldn't play for people, and it's not. I still have music, even if I'm not playing it professionally anymore.
He shrugs and smokes the last of his cigarette before flicking the butt out the window.
Anyway, I'm pretty happy with where I've ended up,
he says, eyes steady on Gerard's face. Gerard turns back to the road, suddenly sure of where he's taking them now. He stops driving aimlessly and starts heading for the main road that'll take them to the next town over. Passing by houses he knows so well that they blend into the distance at this point, each one indistinct and yet essential to the feel of this drive as he makes turns without conscious thought, letting the destination pull him there. It's only once he pulls into the parking lot next to the playground and turns off the engine that it occurs to him that he didn't actually tell Frank where he was taking him, and that this might seem a little creepy, even for him. He turns to try to convince Frank that it's not what it looks like, whatever that might be. But Frank's already gotten the door open and is standing next to the car, stretching and bending back. Gerard gets out, going over in his head how to make, "I thought it would be cool to hang out at a playground at night," sound reasonable. And then Frank turns to him, grin gleaming in the streetlight.
"Swings or jungle gym?" he asks.
"Jungle gym," Gerard answers immediately.
"Awesome."
Frank slams the door shut and runs over the wood chips to get to the castle-like structure in the middle of the playground. Gerard follows Frank over, climbing up the wooden ladder leading up one side after him and manfully resisting the urge to smack Frank's ass as he got his knees onto the top platform. Frank looks back at him and waits until he's caught up.
"Can we get into the tower thing?"
"Oh, fuck yeah, we can." Gerard walks past Frank and climbs up into the tower, finally crawling over the floor until he gets to the edge and can swing his legs out, his arms folded over the railing. He can hear Frank climbing up behind him and looks over once Frank sits down next to him, Frank's heels thumping against the wood as he kicks his legs out and lets them fall back. Gerard pulls his pack of cigarettes from his jacket pocket and offers them to Frank before he takes one himself, inhaling deep off the first drag and holding it in before blowing the smoke up above their heads. "This was where I taught Mikey how to smoke up back in the day," he says, kicking his own feet out and letting them bump into Frank's a little as they swing.
"Good place for it," Frank says.
Gerard nods. "Yeah, I feel a little bad about how young he was. He was like 14 or something the first time, but I figured he was going to anyway, and this way he'd know how it had hit him and all that. And he was fine," Gerard says, suddenly needing Frank to know that he's not like the worst big brother in the world.
"Plus, it means that if he ever got totally fucked up or whatever, he could say, 'I learned it by watching you,' which is totally worth you contributing to the delinquency of a minor," Frank says.
Gerard laughs. "They just don't make PSAs like they used to." Gerard takes another drag and listens to the quiet sounds of a neighborhood at rest.
"This is probably going to shock you, but I was a total pothead when I was 19, Frank comments.
Gerard mimes clutching his pearls, and Frank nods, ashing and twirling the cigarette in his fingers before continuing.
"I also had, like, the worst blonde dreads in the world."
"You had dreadlocks?" Gerard isn't sure if this is the best or worst news he's ever heard.
"Mm-hmm,"
Frank says, smoke wafting out of his nose and through his lips. He gestures to right above his shoulders.
"They were about this long, and I had them for like 18 months before my best friend could convince me that they needed to go."
"Holy shit," Gerard says. "I totally wouldn't have wanted your 19-year-old essence at all in that case." Frank gives him the side eye, so Gerard tries to explain as he puts out his cigarette on the beam next to his head and flicks it onto the ground below. "So I thought you were 19 or something crazy, and Mikey said that I was drawn to your essence, and so I was being gross, but I don't think I was," he finishes.
"Was what?"
Frank asks, stubbing out his cigarette on the tower floor but otherwise totally focused on Gerard. "Was focused on your 19-year-old self because it wasn't, Gerard says, trailing off as Frank leans closer to him, and he closes his eyes and shuts his brain off when Frank's lips touch his. It's light at first, their mouths barely brushing against each other. But while Gerard's brain may be offline, his body definitely isn't, and he pushes closer to Frank after a moment, his nose up against Frank's cheek as he deepens the kiss. He touches Frank's face with his hand, sliding it down to his jaw and then around to the back of his neck, and Frank gasps quietly before holding onto Gerard's hand on his neck and thrusting his tongue into Gerard's mouth. Gerard gets his other arm around Frank's back, pulling him in as close as he can given their positions, and it's like he can't get enough of the taste of Frank's mouth, the cigarette smoke and spit, and just Frank after so long. They sit together, making out like teenagers, and when Gerard runs his hand up the back of Frank's head, it makes him think about his dreadlocks and what Frank looked like when he was actually a teenager, and he breaks away and giggles. Frank blinks open his eyes and cocks his head, and Gerard hurries to think of something to say other than, "I was imagining how ridiculous you must have looked 10 years ago, and I just realized that I totally would have made out with you then anyway." He goes with, "My first kiss was when I was 14.
"Yeah?"
Frank asks, hands sweeping up and down Gerard's back slowly, his fingertips dragging on the hem of Gerard's shirt, and he shivers and tries to focus. "Yeah, we got caught by my art teacher in the pottery room after school, and he made us sit there for like 10 minutes while he told us that it was all perfectly natural and normal, and that there was no need to be embarrassed, and we wanted to die." Frank's hands stop on his back, palms flat against him.
"Damn, you got caught with a dude when you were 14? I was 16 before that happened."
"No, no," Gerard tries to explain. "It was a girl. But that was bad enough." Frank laughs.
"My mom caught me and my best friend fooling around on my bed, but we all just decided to pretend that it never happened. Seemed easier that way. She didn't seem all that surprised that I was kissing a guy, though."
"Mr. Brinkley seemed pretty surprised that I wasn't," Gerard says ruefully. And Frank starts to giggle and doesn't seem to be able to stop, like just talking about smoking up earlier had given him a contact high. So Gerard decides that kissing him again is obviously the solution. Frank continues to laugh around Gerard's tongue for a minute, but Gerard is patient and waits him out. And finally, Frank gives a little sigh and they're off again, upper bodies twisted around so that they can face each other as much as possible with their legs still dangling over the side. Now that the suspense of whether this was actually what Frank was looking for is over, Gerard lets himself relax into it, just enjoying the sensation of Frank up against him, his mouth hot and wet and curious. He's just trying to think of a way to maneuver them back into the center of the tower so that they can stretch out and really get going, when Frank pulls away, breathing heavily.
"Your place?"
he asks, kissing across Gerard's cheek and then down below his ear. Well, that's certainly easier than trying to figure out how to be smooth and seductive on a jungle gym. He says as much to Frank, who laughs and shakes his head as he pulls himself up off the floor. Gerard gets his foot up on the platform and pushes himself up, trying hard not to think about that time back in 96 when his heel caught doing exactly this and he almost went through the tower beams and fell to the ground. It's probably a good idea not to risk the height any longer than they already have. Frank's already climbed halfway down, but Gerard follows him more slowly, trying to regain his equilibrium a little before having to drive across town. By the time he's walking across the wood chips, feeling them slide a little under his feet, Frank's at the car, leaning up against the hood and watching him with his arms folded across his chest. Gerard has a moment of déjà vu, feeling like he must have been here before with Frank, his heart feeling exactly like it does right now. He's pretty fucking sure he hasn't actually been this lucky before, though. They climb back into the car, Frank's hand stroking across Gerard's thigh before he's even started the engine, and they drive to Gerard's house mostly in silence, letting the familiar sounds of WPLJ take up the conversational slack. It's only once Gerard's pulled into the driveway that he starts to worry again, both that Frank won't understand his home and break his heart in the process, and that the house isn't good enough for Frank, cramped and messy and weird. It's hard to think about that as they walk up the path to the front stoop, Frank close on his heels. And by the time Gerard opens the door and flips on the hall lights, he's convinced himself to not care too much about either the house or Frank's reaction to it. Frank steps inside a few feet in front of Gerard, turning his head to look at the odd little miniature paintings on the front hallway walls, and the display cases that contain both Gerard and Mikey's Lord of the Rings figurines and his grandmother's collection of porcelain cows and creepy dolls mixed in together. Gerard fidgets behind him as he makes a slow circle, finally facing Gerard again, expression open and wide.
"It looks just like you," Frank says,
and Gerard groans as he pushes him up against the wall and kisses the shit out of him. Frank opens up for him immediately, kissing him back and pulling Gerard's hips against his own, hands grabbing Gerard's ass as he gets up on his tiptoes to make the angle better. Gerard's hard again almost instantly, his entire body taut and twitching as he grinds down against Frank's boner. He's desperate to get them naked and horizontal, but doing anything about either of those things feels impossible, since it would require him to take his hands off Frank's hips. He pulls his mouth away from Frank's, trailing along his cheek and then latching onto his ear as he slides his hands between Frank's ass and the wall and tries to get the friction just right. And he starts babbling into Frank's ear.
"It's not that I'm nostalgic for high school. I fucking hated it. Couldn't wait to leave. But Jesus fucking Christ. This night is like the best parts of being a teenager, all in one combo." "I'm really glad you feel that way," Frank gasps out, "because I'm about to come on my pants. Oh, God."
And Gerard moans and thrusts against Frank's hip three more times and beats him to it, coming with his hands still clenched on Frank's ass. That's enough to tip Frank over after him, and Frank whines in his ear and then bites down on his neck as he twitches and pulses against Gerard's thigh before stilling. Gerard is really glad they're braced up against the wall because his legs don't feel like they're working all that well. He pants and tries to get his breath back. It would probably be easier if he could stop himself from talking.
"God, I could feel you come against my thigh every day. Jesus,"
he says, and then luckily, before he could pull his tongue out to prevent himself from proposing or some shit, Frank laughs against his neck and kisses his skin before pulling away.
"I'd rather not have come in my pants every day, but aside from that, I'm game," Frank says,
and Gerard leans back in to kiss him again, bringing his hands up to his face and making little happy noises.
Frank says in between kisses, I wouldn't mind cleaning up a bit before you show me the upstairs."
"Oh," Gerard says. "Yeah, it's this way. Yeah, follow me," he says, a little dazed that this isn't the point when Frank starts talking about getting a ride back to his place since he's stranded here, but he's not going to dwell on that when there's an upstairs to show him. He pulls away from Frank reluctantly, really feeling the sticky mess inside his briefs for the first time, and grabs Frank's hand to lead him to the stairs. He points out the bathroom to Frank and then heads into his bedroom, turning on the air conditioner as high as it will go. He strips out of his clothes quickly, wiping off his cock and balls and the inside of his thighs with his briefs before stuffing the pile of dirty clothes into the bottom of his closet. And he takes a moment to look around and figure out how to make things more presentable, before quickly giving it up as a lost cause. He grabs his Star Wars pajamas off the floor and gets them on before crawling under the covers. They are already getting nice and frosty, so he can burrow under the blankets and not die of the heat. He loves sleeping with a million blankets in a cold room, even in the summer. Loves being covered right up to his chin, even though he knows it's really bad for the environment and costs him a huge amount of money and electricity for 4 months every year. He hopes that the fact that he takes the train instead of driving every day makes up for it. When Frank comes in, Gerard peeks out from under the covers, suddenly aware of the fact that they hadn't really discussed whether Frank was staying or just wanted to see the rest of the house. But then Frank starts taking off all his clothes, pushing his boxers down with his jeans all matter-of-fact and tugging his t-shirt up over his head. Gerard is so happy he didn't bother to turn the light off, and he sits up to get a better view of the ink splashing down Frank's torso, the birds on his belly. He wants to lick him all over, chase one tattoo to the next with his tongue, and he mentally retracts any comparison of this evening to high school, because he sure as hell never had a naked Frank Iero in his bedroom when he was 17. He's pretty sure he would have been way less obnoxious and cynical about life if he had, though. Frank's eyes are laughing at him, but he still doesn't say anything, just pulls back the covers and climbs in next to Gerard. And he thinks, fuck it, the covers will have to do, and starts to pull off his pajamas, tossing the top into the corner of the room and kicking his pants down his legs and shoving them to the foot of the bed. And Frank is definitely laughing at him at this point, but Gerard doesn't give a fuck, because once he's naked, he slides down under the covers and gets his mouth on Frank's cock, feeling it jump against his lips. And suddenly, Frank's not laughing anymore. Gerard teases him, running his tongue over his balls and licking along the crease of his thigh. He takes a moment to breathe him in before hooking his arms around his legs and pressing down on his hips. He drags his mouth over Frank's hardening cock and sucks under the head of it before finally taking him in, feeling Frank swell against his cheeks. Frank's pushing up against his mouth just a little, and Gerard throws off the covers, fuck the cold, because he needs to be able to move his hands all over Frank's hips and thighs and stomach without being impeded. Frank certainly seems to approve, because he's moaning like crazy, hands holding Gerard's face and then moving up into his hair, tugging gently. Gerard's shivering from the cold of the room by the time Frank comes on his tongue, long and hard and bitter, but he just sucks it down and swallows, loving it. He pulls off and pants against Frank's leg, resting his head in the dip of his hip bone. He's totally ready to let Frank recover while he gets off on his own. Maybe he can come all over Frank's body, all over those birds and his soft belly. But Frank is apparently an energizer bunny, because he immediately sits up and flips Gerard over onto his back. Gerard's just gotten a grasp on his new position when Frank leans down and takes him in all at once, and Gerard has to shut his eyes. Can't take looking at his gorgeous face or beautiful mouth stretched wide around him. Dealing with the sounds he makes each time he pulls off and then goes back down is challenging enough, to say nothing of the way Frank's lip ring feels as it drags along the side of Gerard's cock, sliding over his sensitive skin. Part of Gerard can't even believe he's hard, let alone ready to come again, given his advanced age of 34. But then again, most 34-year-olds didn't just get to suck off Frank, so he figures that explains it. He forgives himself for the fact that he's coming down Frank's throat seconds later for the same reason, his legs tense and toes pointed as he gasps and pets over Frank's short hair. Frank pulls off him slowly and then crawls up over Gerard's body, draping himself over Gerard's left side.
It's cold in here, he says,
rubbing his nose against Gerard's neck. Gerard half-heartedly tries to kick up some blankets from the foot of the bed before giving up, kissing Frank's forehead and then climbing out of bed to shut off the light, before getting back in and pulling the covers up over them. Frank immediately snuggles up against him, and Gerard's body takes a moment to protest the extremely odd environmental conditions of being hot and sweaty and cold and clammy all at the same time. But Gerard just wraps his arm around Frank's back and falls asleep. Ideal temperatures be damned. Gerard wakes up to something poking him in the shoulder over and over. He scratches his arm a bit before realizing that he's naked and that the something seems to be a finger. He opens his eyes and finds Frank staring back at him, arm held up over his shoulder, and he slowly and deliberately presses his finger back into Gerard's shoulder. What? Gerard says, his brain finally coming back on board and his hands reaching out for Frank, who seems to have moved distressingly far away during the night. He gets one hand on his stomach and the other rests on Frank's hip, petting over the soft skin there.
You got an extra toothbrush?
Frank doesn't look very hopeful, but his eyes start to get fuzzy when Gerard begins dragging his fingers along his stomach, dipping down to the cut of his hip bones, and then moving back up to his left nipple. "Yep, in the right drawer of the sink," Gerard says, smirking at Frank's incredulous look. "What? I went to the dentist last month. Free stuff is awesome." Frank laughs.
"I was about to say, that seems awfully prepared for overnight guests."
"Nah, no one really wants to come all the way out to Jersey."
"Lucky for you, I already live here," Frank says.
Gerard nods back at that, afraid of what might come out if he lets himself speak at this point. Frank seems to understand, though, because he leans in for a kiss, before pulling back the covers, and then changing his mind and bringing them back up under his chin.
"I don't know how you can stand keeping the room so cold,"
he says, burrowing in close to Gerard. "I sleep better like this," Gerard says, "and usually I get up during the night to pee and turn it off then. Which, speaking of..."
Yeah, just give me a minute," Frank says, shivering next to Gerard.
"Wimp."
"Fuck off, I'm tiny and have bad circulation."
"You should stop smoking," Gerard says knowingly. "Actually, get up and I'll go downstairs and make a pot of coffee while you're brushing your teeth."
"Sold."
Frank jumps out of bed and runs out of the room, Gerard watching his ass the whole way. He gets out of bed after him, pulling on the bottoms of his PJs and grabbing a t-shirt off the floor. He heads downstairs, stopping off in the powder room to piss, and then making his way to the kitchen to put on the pot. Once it's set to brew, he grabs his cigarettes from his coat pocket and goes out onto the porch, watching the birds in his backyard as he lights his first smoke of the day. He turns around when he hears the door open and smiles at Frank, who's wearing his boxers and Gerard's pajama shirt. He's never seen R2-D2 look as adorable as he does on Frank's chest.
"I thought you were anti-smoking all of a sudden,"
Frank says, pulling one out of Gerard's pack and lighting up.
No, that was just for you and your poor cold limbs. I'd like to see you try to get me to give them up," Gerard says, walking closer to Frank and nudging his ankle with his bare foot.
Frank blows smoke back into his face and Gerard waves it away, making a face at him. Frank laughs.
"What? I thought you liked it."
Gerard reaches out and gets his arm around Frank's waist, pulling him in for a kiss. "I like you," he says.
"I'm getting that impression,"
Frank says, shifting his leg against Gerard's half-hard cock. "Also, next time you should ask me out after the third week, not the third month. I'm not that observant," Gerard says, leaning down and kissing Frank again before taking another drag off his cigarette.
"I'll keep that in mind," Frank says,
pulling away when the coffee maker beeps. Gerard follows him back inside, getting out two mugs and the sugar and creamer. The first sip is always the best, just like the first drag of the first cigarette of the day. But when Frank kisses him again, it's better than the last kiss was, and the next one is even hotter. It's hard to make himself pull away to drink more and finish the last of his smoke, but he's pretty sure that he'll end up burning his fingers or spilling coffee down his shirt if he doesn't focus a little bit on those tasks. When Frank starts to suck on his neck while he's drinking the last of his coffee, his body waves the white flag and he stubs out his cigarette in the ashtray on the kitchen counter, grabbing Frank's face with both of his hands after putting down the empty mug. Coffee and cigarettes and Frank. A trifecta of awesome. But he's gotten his fill of the first two for the moment, and is nowhere near sated when it comes to the third. He sucks Frank's tongue into his mouth, running his fingers along Frank's short hair and shoving his hips forward when Frank groans in response, body shuddering against Gerard's. The edge of his kitchen counter is hard and sharp against his ass, but with Frank pushing him up against it, he can't bring himself to care. When Frank brings his hand down to cup his cock through the thin fabric of his pajama bottoms, he groans and dips his head down against Frank's neck.
"How about we head back upstairs and you can fuck me?"
Frank asks, hand firm and confident along Gerard's dick. Gerard sucks in a breath and kisses Frank's neck before answering. "I was just about to ask if you wanted to fuck me, but
okay." "Really?"
Gerard pulls away and nods vigorously, and Frank laughs.
"Excellent. But me first, okay? I've been thinking about this,"
Frank says, as if Gerard would be able to say no to what he wants. He pushes Frank away from him, trailing a hand over his stomach and feeling his ass as he turns. "If you want to be the lazy one this morning, I guess I can fuck your ass." Frank glances back at him over his shoulder as he moves through the main room towards the stairs.
"We'll see who you're calling lazy, old man."
"Hey!" Gerard protests, not resisting his impulse to smack Frank's ass as he climbs the stairs in front of him.
"You've got, what, 2 months left of your 20s? Glass houses, my friend," he says, following Frank back into his room.
Frank turns and pulls him down onto the bed, kissing Gerard hard and fast, lips and teeth and tongue everywhere.
"Let's see if you can keep up," he says,
flipping them over and getting his stolen pajama shirt off before shoving his boxers down.
Where's your stuff?
Top drawer, Gerard gasps out, pointing at the bureau. Frank gets off him, and Gerard takes the opportunity to get naked, giving his cock a couple of nice long strokes while Frank digs around for the lube and condoms. Frank comes back over and straddles Gerard's legs again, tossing the strip of condoms next to them on the bed and clicking open the bottle of lube.
Give me your hand, he says,
and Gerard holds it out for him. Frank kneels up on his knees once he's coated Gerard's fingers with the lube, stroking his cock and looking down at Gerard's face.
Well, you gonna get re-ready or what?
He asks, and Gerard sits up and kisses him as he gets his hand back behind Frank's balls, circling his hole before pushing in with one finger.
Oh,
Frank moans into his mouth, shifting his hips until Gerard's finger is in up to his second knuckle. And it's like nothing Gerard's ever seen before. Frank just using his hand like a sex toy. He's pretty sure that even when it's his dick and Frank's ass, Frank is going to be the one making Gerard take it. And while that's never really been a thing for Gerard before, it definitely is now. Christ. They continue kissing as Gerard adds another finger, Frank pressing down in response, greedy and eager. He's sliding in easy now, Frank relaxed and moving smoothly, and Gerard's pretty sure Frank's ready to go. But he doesn't want to stop, is the thing. Doesn't want Frank to stop making those noises and biting down on his lower lip every time Gerard hits his prostate, grinding against his hand. Finally, Frank pulls away, gasping for breath, and reaches over for the condoms, tearing one off and getting it on Gerard. He gets Gerard slicked up and then positions himself over Gerard's cock, and Gerard waits for him to sink down. But while he knows he's not huge, apparently he's big enough, because it takes a little while for Frank to work himself down on the first couple of inches. Gerard holds onto his hips, petting over the soft skin as Frank breathes. And then Frank starts to giggle and ruins the moment.
What?
Gerard asks.
Nothing,
Frank says, covering his mouth but still laughing.
I just... You're so big.
He lisps in a terrible impression of a porn star.
Oh, fuck you, Gerard says. I'm trying.
Gerard laughs, one of the great honking ones, and Frank loses it, arching his head back as he cracks up. And the small change in the angle means that suddenly Frank slides down further, and his laughter turns into a moan. Gerard grips his hips and thrusts up a bit, and all at once they have a rhythm, Frank bending down over Gerard and kissing him, his bendy little torso curved over Gerard. Just like that, this moment is everything in the world to Gerard, the feel of Frank around him and the sweat on their skin the only thing on his mind, one hand on Frank's face holding him close as they move together. He reaches for Frank's dick with his other hand, feeling it jump against his palm as he closes around it, hot and heavy against his skin, and he tries to capture every little sound Frank is making in his mouth as he rides him. Gerard braces his feet up on the bed, snapping his hips up as Frank thrusts down over and over, and Frank arches his head back for a moment before tucking his face next to Gerard's neck, coming all over Gerard's hand and stomach. Gerard moves both of his hands down to Frank's hips and holds on as he snaps up into him, rhythm frantic and fast, and he comes, biting down on Frank's shoulder. He pants with Frank, licking the sweat off his collarbone and tracing over the ink there with the tip of his tongue. He makes a sound when Frank sits up and lifts himself off of Gerard, but then Frank flops down next to him and tucks himself into Gerard's side. Gerard sweeps his baby bangs off his forehead and kisses him there, before closing his eyes and drifting off. Waking up with Frank next to him twice in one morning is pretty spectacular, in Gerard's opinion, but reaching down to pull off the condom and attempting to clean himself up is not.
Might be time for a shower, Frank says. And next time, try getting that off before you fall asleep, old man. I know I tired you out, but... Ow!
He rubs over his ass where Gerard just smacked him and glares, although the smile twitching at the corner of his mouth ruins it a bit.
Oh, I will kick you in the balls if you do that again. Just try me.
Gerard holds up his hands in surrender. You wouldn't hurt a poor defenseless senior citizen, would you? Frank rolls his eyes and tumbles out of bed, walking over to the door before he turns back.
Well, are you coming for that shower, or what?
Gerard nods, pulling himself out of the bed and getting his arms around Frank before kissing him. You sure I can't smack your ass again? Frank smirks at him.
Why don't you try sometime and find out?
Maybe I will.
You really should, Frank says softly, tangling his fingers with Gerard's.
And Gerard is pretty sure he knows love when he hears it. A few hours and a very thorough shower later, They're downstairs having a second cup of coffee when Mikey walks into the kitchen and Gerard remembers that he had plans for the day.
Gerard, do you ever answer your phone anymore? I thought we were seeing Planet of the Apes today.
It's Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Gerard corrects automatically. And then he gestures at Frank. Frank, this is Mikey. Frank waves at Mikey, who looks at Gerard for a long moment, before his left eyebrow twitches. Gerard beams and turns to Frank. Want to join us for the movie? Epilogue. Gerard Way still has a system for his morning commute. These days it starts about 20 minutes earlier than it used to, though, because Frank is simultaneously the most irritable person in the world when he wakes up, and is also an octopus impersonator who entangles Gerard in his legs and arms and, Gerard swears, additional appendages that appear overnight for the sole purpose of keeping him in bed and making him late. He wouldn't have guessed last year that he would enjoy the process of detaching himself from a grumpy cephalopod every morning, but he does. And so the extra 20 minutes is for 5 minutes of waking up a little, 10 minutes of sleepy handjobs or rutting against each other, and 5 minutes of insults about the other's morning breath, and threats of what they'll do to each other if they don't get up this minute to deal with said morning breath and the cum dripping down their legs. Half the time he doesn't even get to have coffee before he gets onto the 759, due to what happens in the shower. But he always gets a kiss before he leaves his house, his home, and that's enough of a system for him. The end.